Bells build to an enormous crescendo. Like a school of fish swimming close together when there's a shark, these snow geese use their numbers to protect themselves. Flying in a big, compact flock, they make it harder for a predator to pick off a single bird. It's a display of skill and grace that, for a snow goose, is just a fact of life. For BirdNote, I'm Ariana Rimmel. BirdNote is grateful to Dr. Gordon Oriens, a co-founder of BirdNote's Science Advisory Council, for his generous ongoing support.
Jill Fritz with the Humane Society of the United States, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is now on Venmo. Follow us and send a donation anytime at KBOO Radio. That's at KBOO Radio. Thanks.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning into KBOO Portland.
Hello, and welcome to this month's episode of Voices for the Animals. I'm your host, Michelle Coppola.
In 2021, for the first time in 5 years, the number of dogs and cats euthanized in the U.S. actually increased, and that trend continued last year.
I have been in rescue for maybe about 15 years, and I've never seen it this crowded.
Nationwide, shelters are dealing with a tsunami of pets that have been given up for adoption.
It's heartbreaking to walk through the kennels and see how many great pets we have. They're not scary, they're not broken, there's nothing wrong with them. They just lost their homes.
Too many potential pets, not enough people adopting them.
Dogs and cats are coming into shelters at levels we haven't seen in about 10 years. We have about 120 kennels in the Kern County Animal Shelter. We have about 325 dogs. We take in 25 dogs on average per day.
And I gotta tell you, I'm sorry, but in my 30 odd years of covering the story of overcrowding in the shelters, I have never seen anything like this.
Now, I know that sometimes the media deals in so much hyperbole that we tend to tune it out, but those news headlines and stories you just heard are not at all exaggerated when it comes to the current crisis at animal shelters and rescues all over our country. So, why is this happening? Are more pets being surrendered? Is it a lack of adoptions? Too much breeding? Well, all those things play a role, and here to discuss the problem and some of the possible solutions is Stephanie Feiler, Executive Director of the organization Shelter Animals Count. Thanks for being with us, Stephanie. Now, I want to start by having you tell us exactly what your organization Shelter Animals Count is, what it does, and why it is so vitally important to the companion animal welfare community.
Sure. So Shelter Animals Count was founded in 2012, so we're just a little over 10 years old now, by all of the national animal welfare stakeholders who essentially banded together and determined we have been an industry that has been behind the times as far as data collection and using data to make decisions and in order to save more animal lives. So they created Shelter Animals Count as an independent nonprofit, and we are charged with maintaining, collecting, and analyzing the data of animals coming in and out of animal shelters, foster-based rescues, and municipal animal control services throughout the country, Puerto Rico, and we'll be expanding into Canada next year.
Wow, so it's really important that we make the distinction. Not only are you counting the animals in municipal and county and city shelters, but you're also taking into account the animals that are going through nonprofit organizations here locally in the Portland area. That would be someone like the Oregon Humane Society, Family Dogs New Life Shelter, Humane Society of Southwest Washington.
Yes, correct. And also foster-based rescues that do not have a brick-and-mortar facility but operate to help animals through their foster network.
Well, like I mentioned, I'm personally involved in dog rescue here in the Portland-Vancouver area. And for somebody like me, it seems like there has always been an animal shelter crisis because it always seems like there are too few good homes for adoptable animals. But what we're experiencing now is really different. So what I want to do is sort of set the stage and let people know what things were happening prior to the pandemic, because actually we were really making some gains prior to 3 years ago.
Yeah, we really were, especially with dogs. About a decade ago, we saw as our industry us realizing that we would not be able to adopt our way out of the shelter overpopulation crisis, and needed to really look at not only the flow outside of shelters, but the flow into shelters. And so organizations across the country really started focusing their efforts on community outreach and intake prevention services and programs, so that we could ultimately get animals that were entering shelters down to really just the ones that had nowhere else to turn. And that included really robust spay-neuter programs that were low or no-fee, trap-neuter return programs for community cats that would not be suitable for an in-home adoption, and a whole host of other things, including pet food pantries and other just really pet family support services that would prevent animals from entering the shelter for simple things like their owner not being able to purchase pet food between their next paycheck, between now and their next paycheck.
Right.
And so we saw those programs really having a huge impact on intake reduction. And at the same time, we were doing a pretty good job maintaining our outcome programs, which would be things like adoption and return to owner, and then also transferring animals around the country to other organizations. We were doing probably our best in a lot of years in 2019.
Right, because back in the 80s and 90s and so forth, I mean, we are talking multiple millions of animals were being put to sleep simply for lack of a good home, and that really decreased, you know, up until we hit the pandemic.
Right, yeah, that's what the best guesses and estimates are. That, I mean, euthanasia was a common practice to maintain population, both of animals inside and outside of the shelter. And we really, our industry really worked on reducing that through some of these creative, innovative programs. And really the early 2000s or late 2000s, early 2010s were really a time of innovation and us thinking outside of the box and trying new things to really challenge that status quo. And we were seeing a lot of those benefits start to happen in 2019.
But as you have said, in the past few years, and as we have all noticed if we're involved in this, things have really, really changed. And there is a true crisis in our nation's animal shelters and rescues. Tell us a little bit about how and why that developed.
So in 2019, before the pandemic, we look at this thing that called population balance calculation, which essentially looks at the number of animals coming into shelters and leaving shelters. And if it balances, then there's no change in population. So basically the same number of animals that were in a shelter at the beginning of the year equals the same number of animals that were in the shelter at the end of the year. Not the same animals, but just the same number. And so when you have obviously more animals coming in than are going out, your population goes up. And when you have the reverse, your population goes down. And so in 2019, for the first year in a lot of years, we had seen that population finally hit equilibrium, which was, I mean, there's still, the goal is no animals in shelters, but
sure,
to at least have equilibrium is the next best thing. And so that was after, you know, years and years of hard work. And so we were finally seeing that pay off. And it was that combination of fewer animals coming in and more animals leaving. In 2020, we all celebrated because we had a lot fewer animals coming in and a lot more animals going out.
Pandemic pets!
Exactly. What really happened when we looked at the numbers was it wasn't so great. We did see that experience happen with brick and mortar shelters where they were either forced to or chose to reduce or close services to the public, meaning they either had to stop accepting strays and owner surrenders or reduce that, and at the same time wanted to have, you know, skeleton staff crews in the shelter itself. And so we worked to get animals out through big adoptions and foster programs, et cetera. And there were just not a lot of animals in the shelters. But what happened that we didn't realize until after the fact, as we started looking at the data, is a lot of these foster-based rescues really came in and filled the gap.
Mm.
And the challenge, so as brick and mortar shelters were seeing their intakes go down and celebrating because they hadn't had this much room to breathe in ever,
right.
We were seeing rescues fill that gap. And the problem with that is typically brick and mortar shelters are very high volume with both the number of animals coming in and their animals coming out. And that's by design. Whereas typically foster-based rescues are a lot slower with that process and
right.
often by design as well. They're, you know, a lot of foster-based rescues focus on behavior modification or extreme medical rehabilitation, et cetera. And then some of them, frankly, just have slower processes. They're volunteer run.
Right.
You know, people, they're doing the best they can, but it's just a different model. And so what happened was that worked okay in 2020, but we were hearing them scream from the rooftops, like, our intakes are not down. And so that really caused an alarm in 2021 when we're looking at the data and seeing that as a sheltering system, intakes were down, but we've now shifted a high volume need onto a low volume solution. And we started to feel that in 2021.
So what you're really saying is the problem actually didn't go away. The problem of not having enough good homes for the amount of pets coming in. What actually happened during the pandemic is that where the pets went shifted.
Exactly. And it's not to minimize the gains that were made in 2020. It was amazing that people were opening their homes to foster and adopt and the pandemic pets and all of those things. I mean, it really, shelter pets in particular, were having a moment.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it gave us a breath that I think we weren't expecting what was going to happen next. We weren't prepared for it, frankly.
Mm.
And so in 2021, our intake started going up again. Ticking up. Not anything of concern. We started filling up shelters again, but it was still manageable. However, we started seeing outcomes not keep up. And so we had a little more animals coming in, but fewer animals going out. And then 2022, now we have full shelters, and we have even more animals coming in, and still not as many going out. And then 2023, we're now in, or almost ending, the third year of sustained stair-stepping increase. So now we are at the same number of animals, if not more by the end of the year, same number of animals coming into shelters as we were in 2019, but not the same outcomes. And so what we look at projecting by the end of the year is probably gonna be about a 5% gap. And when you take that to, you know, millions of animals, it's significant. And when you add that, as this is a third-year thing, it's not like we started January with no animals in shelters and have a 5% gap. We started with full shelters and now continue to add to it.
Let me break in here. You know, initially, when we started to see more animals in shelters and fewer adoptions, people were saying, oh, well, the intake rates are increasing because people are returning their pandemic pets because they've now gone back to work, don't have time for them or have buyer's regret or so forth. But actually, that was kind of a myth. That's really not what has happened. What did change? Mm-hmm. What are the factors that are playing into the current crisis that we're seeing?
That's like my favorite topic because it's ironically what led me to this organization. I was in an animal shelter for 12 years and during the pandemic, and I joined Shelter Animals Count in 2021 because I was hearing these headlines about pandemic pets being surrendered in record numbers. And when I was looking at the data at our shelter, I'm like, we're just not seeing that. And I thought, you know, maybe we're the anomaly. And so as I started to look at Shelter Animals Count data, I'm like, nobody's seeing that. How are we convinced ourselves that this is the problem? So it is true that, you know, those things did happen. There were animals that were surrendered because people returned to normal and different routine, but it wasn't nearly I mean, it was minimal. It was, you know, it's one of those like one story, and so we think it's a trend. And what we saw was happening in 2021 and persists today is housing and other economic-based reasons continue to be the predominant reason why animals are entering shelters through owner surrender. But the interesting thing is, we actually have seen a decrease over the past 3 years, year over year, of animals being surrendered by their owners. And so the number of animals being surrendered has gone down, but the reasons in which they're being surrendered, being housing and an economy, have gone up within that category. However, that's not necessarily, it seems like it could be good news on face value about owner surrenders going down, but we're seeing, especially for dogs, the rate of stray dogs entering shelters has significantly gone up.
Yeah, so what I think you're leading to here is something that I've been reading about, especially in places like Texas, where people cannot get their dog into a shelter because there's a wait list, or they the shelters are full, you know, that sort of thing. And so they're just dumping their pets, or they're calling them a stray when they're really not, so they can get them in.
Yes, that's what we're hearing anecdotally. We can't prove it yet. We will be able to look at it. We can't necessarily prove people's intentions and without knowing. However, the data would indicate that that's likely happening because the rate of animals being reclaimed has gone down significantly. And generally, regardless of how many animals are coming in astray, your rate of return would maintain. But because they're going down, it does indicate that animals are either being abandoned, they're being turned in falsely as strays because they are not able to surrender them, or a lot of cases when animals are truly lost, their owner may either think they can't afford the fees or truly can't afford the fees to reclaim and then just don't. So we're hearing from our shelter partners a lot about animals being microchipped and it going to the right phone number and right address and those owners not reclaiming, which is back to a lot of cases, the economy. So that's happening. And at the same time, the past several years, we've had a national veterinary shortage, which has reduced some of these community services that helped us keep animals out of shelters prior to 2020. It's also made it cost prohibitive in a lot of cases for pet owners to get veterinary services that they need, which ultimately result in surrenders. And then within the shelters themselves, there are constant veterinary job postings within animal shelters and even just within private practice clinics that rescues and shelters partner with. They're full with their for-profit clients and aren't able to dedicate their time and resources to shelter animals too. And so you have animals that would otherwise be very adaptable that are awaiting sometimes minor, sometimes major medical procedures, spay, neuter, dental cleanings, et cetera.
Right. Well, for people who may not realize, I do want to interject here. This is something I'm really familiar with. We are in this country in a real veterinary shortage. We are facing a time when there is going to be 15,000 fewer veterinarians than we actually need to service the pets in this country.
Yes, the veterinary shortage is a real concern. And at the same time, we still have staffing shortages and volunteer programs have not returned to their pre-pandemic rates. And so you really just have not enough people. And what the challenge with that is, even when there are enough kennels, sometimes there's not enough people, and those kennels have to be empty because there's still not a capacity to care for those animals. And so it's not always space. Sometimes it is just that full, complete resource package. And it's really, where we're at right now is really the perfect storm of everything going wrong at once.
You're listening to Voices for the Animals on 90.7 FM, KBOO, Portland. You know, after many years of real progress, it's sad to say that there is now a companion animal shelter crisis in this country, with shelters and rescues all over the nation overwhelmed with unwanted pets, especially dogs. Today, we're talking to Stephanie Filer of Shelter Animals Count. They're a nonprofit organization dedicated to collecting and analyzing data from our nation's shelters and rescues. So hopefully we can do a better job of using that information to help pets in this country. Stephanie, you touched on this a little bit ago, and I wanted to circle back to it. The economy, and specifically a lack of affordable housing, is really one of the primary drivers of this animal shelter crisis. And while, yes, many economic indicators are really good right now, our inflation rate is down, unemployment is at the lowest levels in a long time, the fact is that housing really impacts people's ability to own and care for pets. It can be impossible for the average person to afford to buy a house, which then forces people to rent. And renting means lack of a yard for big dogs. And as we know, many rentals have pet bans or restrictions on dogs, especially due to size or breed. Can you speak to that a little bit more and the impact that it's having?
Yes. So that is absolutely the case. Housing tends to be the number one or number two reason why animals are, dogs in particular, are surrendered to animal shelters or rescues. And these are all really great, well-loved family pets that, like you mentioned, their housing, their family's housing situation changed and either became unaffordable and they had to relocate, or what we were really hearing a lot last year is landlords out of nowhere decided to add exorbitant pet deposits and pet rent because the rental market was going up so high, and they, in some cases, were restricted on how much they could increase the rent, but they had this kind of gray area on, you know, penalizing based on pets. And then we had the housing moratorium that started during COVID was lifted. And so a lot of people found themselves scrambling for housing. You're exactly right, too, that across this country, we have major pet discriminatory rental practices. And that generally targets large breed dogs, or not even large anymore. Sometimes it's just dogs over 25 pounds. And it generally targets dogs up to 30 or 40 different breeds I've seen on lists that landlords or insurance companies are just kind of pulling up because of what they think. And it really doesn't look at behaviors and destruction and pet safety and human safety and all of these other things that we know are actually best practice. It's really, really antiquated. And it's the norm right now. And so that is definitely forcing families to come to shelters and looking for new placement. So that's a huge challenge in our country, and one that is going to have a huge impact if we can get that to change on keeping pets in homes, and then also allow people to actually adopt the pets they want from their shelter.
Right. The thing I want to touch on also is the role that maybe changing demographics is playing in this crisis. One of the things that I hear from the shelters and rescues that I work with is that as our population ages, because we have a large pig in the python of baby boomers that are getting older, 10,000 people turn 65 every single day in this country. A lot of people are ending up in nursing homes and assisted living facilities where they can't have pets, or they pass away and their pets are not, don't have a plan for their pets, and there's nowhere for their pets to go because the family can't or won't take them. Is that playing a role in this crisis also?
Statistics of that would make sense. And the other thing that's interesting too about the aging population as it relates to pet owners is because 80s and 90s and even early 2000s were such difficult decades for animal sheltering. Adopting a pet was really chic in those decades, and there was a lot of pride that people had about adopting pets. We're not seeing that happen as much in this younger generation. It's kind of more chic right now to pay $8,000 to $10,000 online for a dog.
Yes, don't we love those little Frenchies and golden doodles and designer dogs? And you know what's interesting, yeah, as much as we love shelter dogs, you know, nationwide, and I imagine in this state as well, only about 30 or 40% of dog adoptions are through rescue groups and shelters. Most people are still getting a new dog from a breeder of some kind, pet store, something like that. I know that the people that I talk to in shelters say they see a lot more golden doodles and Frenchies, yeah, and purebred dogs, and people usually don't think of purebred dogs as ever ending up in a shelter.
Yes, that is so fascinating too, because we actually did a poll recently of some of our supporters, and we had responses from 45 states, 500 organizations, and asking them, like, what kind of either intentional designer breeds or purebreds have you been getting in your shelter, and are you seeing an increase? And predominantly, 60% of them said they are seeing an increase. The interesting thing is, though, like, you know, 5 years ago, we would have lines for people waiting to adopt some oodle doodle poo mix of some sort.
Yorkie poo!
And now, their shelters are full of them.
Right, especially golden doodles. Around here, labradoodles are in every shelter.
Yes, 100%. And yet, people continue to buy them online from puppy mills. And I think we're kind of back in a place where we need to make that chic again, and we need to talk about the importance, because our rate of dog adoptions continues to decrease, and when it doesn't decrease, it just flatlines.
I want to put some numbers to this crisis that we're talking about, because it's really easy to say, yeah, the shelters are packed and so forth, but I want to bring home the idea that this is really causing many more pets to lose their lives. Can you give us some statistics that really show what we're up against in shelters right now?
So what we're seeing with dogs compared to 2 years ago is actually an 85% increase in non-live outcomes. So that includes euthanasia or shelter euthanasia or animals dying in care. And that's almost double. And then compared to last year, we're seeing a 30% increase when it comes to dog non-live outcomes. And in contrast, when you look at that compared to cats, it's only 7% increase compared to 2 years ago and 8% increase compared to last year. So it is going up across species, but way more significantly for dogs. And what we're hearing from our shelter partners right now is organizations that either have never or haven't for a really long time had to euthanize animals for space in order to maintain humane living conditions for all of the animals in their care and safety for their staff. They're having to do it now, and it's excruciating. There's, you know, some of our partners are talking about having to walk through and picking out dozens of dogs for arbitrary reasons that they never would have had chosen before. And it started about last year when organizations started picking out dogs that, you know, if they had a little more time, maybe they could have changed this, you know, behavioral medical challenge, but mm-hmm. they don't have that time. And now they're flat out just walking through and they're like, we either have too many that look like this or first right. in, first out, or age, or, you know, a whole host of other things.
Too many huskies, too many pit bulls, too many black dogs. And so somebody has to go, whoever's been here the longest or whoever is a little too excitable, right?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, we know that shelters are not a great place for dogs and cats to spend a long amount of time, and they don't generally present in a shelter how they would in a home, especially the excitable ones in a shelter. They're usually way more calm at home.
Sure.
It's a stressful situation, and so the goal is still to try to get these pets out of shelters into homes to make room for more coming in, both from an adoption and a foster standpoint, but also so we can see what their true behaviors are, and then hopefully can find an adopter without them ever returning back to the shelter. But, you know, in situations where shelters aren't making those decisions, we're hearing about dogs, you know, 6 to 9 dogs per kennel.
Right.
Designed for one dog.
I know that in Texas and in California, it is not uncommon nowadays to put to sleep whole litters of puppies, healthy puppies.
Yeah.
Because they just have no space and they're more likely to get sick in the kennel environment.
Yeah. And where I am right now, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and one of our local shelters reported that they're at 400% capacity. And,
wow.
You know, that's not sustainable. And that's the message that they were sharing, is like, we tried for as long as we can to hold on, and we can't hold on. So yeah, it's a really challenging time for shelters. And you hit the nail on the head earlier by saying, you know, these organizations often, I think in these situations, people like to point fingers at who are surrendering their pets after the pandemic. And, you know, that's only not true, but it's also, you know, we want a villain in this situation. We want to point fingers at shelters because they're not doing enough, or they're euthanizing, or whatever. And really what we're seeing across the board is shelters are doing the best they can with what they have. And this is really not a shelter problem. It really, truly is a community problem.
That is something I'm so glad you touched on, because I was about to do the same thing. Is so many times people want to point fingers and say, well, why do they have to kill them? That's terrible. Those terrible people at the shelter, you know, putting to sleep all those dogs. That's not their fault. And the thing about it is that it takes a terrible toll on those shelter workers to have to make those decisions and actually perform the act of putting a healthy animal to sleep. That is something that not every human can do, and that you can't do without it having taken a huge toll on you. And it also probably leads to the fact that you have a lot of attrition and people leaving the field because it's just too hard.
Absolutely. And that's what we really saw since COVID. It's really interesting. You have kind of your pre-COVID animal shelter staff that really saw some really dark times in animal welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these newer post-COVID staff that they're now entering in some dark times, but they kind of had this break where it was kind of this like unicorn where nobody was having to make these tough euthanasia decisions. And so now having to make it after entering in a space where they were not is even more difficult for them. But then it's also difficult for the ones who had been through that and then finally saw this light at the end of the tunnel, and they're like, now we're back. And so, you know, people are in this work because they love animals. So you have these, like, this huge compassion fatigue that's occurring. We're losing great people. And then you add to it people from the community or outside of the community pointing fingers and making death threats and saying these awful things. It's more than most people can handle. And even veterinarians have a really high risk of suicide.
Right.
And these are all just really complex societal issues that are happening within these shelter walls that is really of no fault of anyone who's in these buildings.
Right. What can we do to help animals in this crisis and help the people who work with them?
So the tried and true top four things that have always helped continue to help, and that is adopt, foster, volunteer, and donate. And ideally you can do all four, but if you can't do all four, one or more it's really transformational, and it literally is saving lives. We're seeing budget cuts. We're seeing, because of the economy, a decrease in donations. We're seeing, you know, the staffing shortages, like we talked about, that can be remedied with an increase in volunteers. We're seeing the space crisis that can be remedied with an increase in fosters and adopters. That's really the first thing on being able to rally around and support your shelters. Then there's the other side of people who are struggling, and there's a lot of people in this country struggling, particularly to care for their pets. As soon as they can, to reach out to their local shelter to see what services and resources might be available. There's a lot more that shelters can do with more notice. It's a lot harder for them to try to help with a housing issue when somebody's moving that day,
right,
versus, no, they have 30 days and they either need help finding a pet-friendly place, or in a lot of cases, even if an owner surrender, you know, is still the only option for them, a lot of shelters can help partner them with these peer-to-peer rehoming services. So the person who's having to surrender their pet now doesn't have to take it to this overcrowded shelter. The shelter can help refer them to these groups that help them pick the new home for their pet.
Exactly. I mean, I see so often people posting on social media that they have to get rid of the pet by the end of the week, or they have to get rid of the pet in 24 hours, when in fact they've known for a long time that they were moving or that their housing situation was tenuous. And if I could say anything to anyone who is having difficulty, please don't wait. Please, as soon as you know there's a problem, speak up and try to find a plan for your pet and call your shelter, call your local rescues.
Absolutely. And it makes sense, too, because, you know, when a major life crisis is happening, sometimes people freeze,
right,
or they think that they're going to be able to find it and they want the shelter to be the last option. And that's great. We do want the shelter to be the last option. And so the invitation is truly to anyone who's struggling to allow shelters to help partner with them. And then, you know, as people are wanting to support this work and support keeping pets with the families who already love them, they can reach out and donate food and money to these organizations anytime, you know, you have any pets.